This week on It's So Bad, we talk about one of the most important RPGs in the history of video games in Dragon Warrior, also known as Dragon Quest, here on It's So Bad. And welcome back, Chris, for another episode.
Michael, hello.
You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify, etc., wherever you get your podcasts from. We are listed there. It's called It's So Bad. Before we get into it, I want to ask you, how big of a orgasm did you have over the announcement of Tales of Arise?
I'm very excited for that.
Did you have a big boner? Very excited. Big boner.
A
big boy boner.
There's a lot of talk that concerns me, though, around the release of this, because the creators come out and said, like, you know, we're gonna stick with Tales tradition, but, you know, we're gonna change the game up a little bit to draw in new fans.
Oh god,
and that always makes me a little nervous when that happens.
What so this is Tales of Arise is a Tales of game. The previous one was Tales of Vesperia.
Berseria.
And you've played them all, or most of them?
I've played a ton of them, yeah.
Yeah, they're, like, ridiculously long. I can't play them.
Oh, I loved the last one. The last few, I've loved them all, but the last one, Berseria, was... that was, like, awesome, because it was, like... Usually, the Tales characters that you play as are, like, so squeaky clean, like, good guys.
Yeah.
And this was, like, almost like the Suicide Squad equivalent of a Tales game. Mm. And I thought it was quite fun.
I think the only Tales of game that I've played was Tales of... What is it?
Symphonia?
Symphonia.
That was the big one that was in the GameCube.
Yeah, so I played that, but I never finished it. Because it just seemed like you were doing the same shit over and over again.
Yeah, I don't think Symphonia is... Yeah, it's kind of a hot take, but I think a lot of the ones that came out on the PS3 and after are...
No, I think people generally like those better.
Yeah, it seems like Symphonia is like always like just considered like the super popular one, and I guess it's the one that everyone got into.
Right. But so you are our chief RPG correspondent.
Oh, well, oh, hey.
Yes. Hey. You're our chief wrestling and, oh wait, you're co-chief wrestling and a chief RPG correspondent. We also have a chief fighting game correspondent.
I don't think I have, the best resume to be the chief RPG, correspondent, but what? I guess amongst the hosts here.
You most certainly did.
I mean, I just beat my first Fire Emblem game, recently.
Which one was that?
Binding Blade.
Okay.
It was one of the GBA ones.
So I'm like off and on tepidly playing Shadow Dragon for the 3DS.
That's the remake of the first one, right?
Yeah. It's not the greatest. People in Fire Emblem series even acknowledge it not being good.
Yeah, Binding Blade was, you know, I liked it. It kind of became like a slog at some point. Because like some of those battles are, I don't know how they are in Shadow Dragon, but in Binding Blade, like...
They take like a long time.
Yeah, like there are some battles towards the end of that game that can like take like... an hour plus to complete, like an hour and a half.
I have an hour commute to work, and I will sit down to play a battle and get through like one battle.
And like, so, they're hard. Like, you know, that the stress of that permadeath is just a...
Yeah, I mean, I'm not ashamed to admit, I do enjoy the permadeath, but at the same time, what it forces me to do in Shadow Dragon a lot...
To reset when someone dies.
Reset when somebody dies. But it also sucks too, because you'll get people automatically sometimes, like you'll get new characters, but you can also recruit characters who are on the enemy side.
Yep.
But there's no clear indication at the outset of a battle who you can recruit in Shadow Dragon.
There's not really. I guess in Binding Blade, there's like a few like hints.
Give you hints, but sometimes you have to have a specific character talk to that specific character to recruit it. And it's super annoying to me. So it just makes the game so much harder, but... Yeah, RPGs. What other RPGs? You've played every Final Fantasy game.
Though. Oh, yes.
You've played every one of them?
I think outside of Final Fantasy 14, yes. I have played probably every single one at some point in time.
Have you played... What Dragon Quest games have you played?
Played this one, Dragon Warrior.
Yes.
And the most recent one, Dragon Quest XI, are actually the only two Dragon Quest games I've played.
Wow. Well, Chris...
and I returned that one.
Dragon Quest XI.
Yes. I did not like it.
So, just so everybody knows, Dragon Warrior was the Americanized version of what Dragon Quest the name was up until, I think, like, number 5 was when they changed the name back to Dragon Quest for some reason. But they made it Dragon Warrior here, and they released it 3 years, Dragon Warrior, 3 years after the Japanese release. So it was released in 1986 in Japan. It came out in 1989 here in North America, because they really didn't think that this game would fly at all in North America, because they didn't understand, they didn't think Americans understood RPGs, and they didn't, unfortunately. But yeah, so we played this game. We're adding it to our endless list because it's the first Dragon Warrior game / Dragon Quest game, which now has 11 entries in it, and also has a million different spinoffs. There's like a dozen, maybe even more than a dozen spin-offs of Dragon Quest games. So it started out franchise. It's also like the first JRPG.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure it's like the one of, if not the first, then like the most, the one that popularized the term JRPG.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what would have come before this, if anything. Yeah, it really might be the first.
So as I was saying, so just some context. This wasn't the first JRPG. There's Dragon Slayer, which was released in 1984. Dragon Slayer, if you haven't heard of it before, it went on to be the known as the Legend of Heroes series. Do you know what the Legend of Heroes series is now?
I've never played any of those.
Trails of Cold Steel.
Oh, okay.
So that series is still ongoing, and you should play that game.
I should. It's been on my list for quite a long time.
I've been trying to get you to play that game so that you can tell me if it's any good, because it looks very, very anime, which I sometimes can get into, but sometimes I can't.
I'm not an anime fan, but for whatever reason, I'm okay with it in the RPGs.
Yeah, why aren't you an anime fan?
I don't know. Just doesn't do it for me.
Really? Yeah. Nothing? There's so many different anime.
I mean, you know, if something's good, something's good. I don't care what art style it has.
But, didn't you watch, what was it, Attack on Titan?
No.
Oh.
I did just watch the Ultraman anime that was on Netflix. That was really good.
Was it a new one?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, we discussed on, if you listen to the Zone Avengers podcast, you'd know that we discussed Gundam, which is that game like to a T. I've been watching a lot of Gundam. But yeah, so you can play this game, obviously, on the Famicom, but it also came out on the MSX, which is a Japanese computer. Came out, re-released on the Super Famicom, came out on the Game Boy Color, and also came out on Android and iOS. The Super Famicom, GBC, and the Android iOS ones are kind of different versions of this game, but the MSX version is very similar to what Dragon Warrior Dragon Quest was. On this episode, though, we're specifically going to be talking about the NES version, so we're going to go with that. But yeah, so this game kind of, we mentioned that this game laid the groundwork for JRPGs. So Wizardry and Ultima both were released in 1981. Dragon Slayer was released in 1984. February of 1986, Legend of Zelda comes out before this game. And then Final Fantasy was released a year after this game. So this game was like one of the progenitors of the genre. Mm-hmm. If you look at Dragon Slayer, it's more of you're going through the dungeons, like that portion of what Dragon Warrior would be.
Yeah.
As opposed to having the complete overworld where you're doing a quest for a king. But this game was developed by Chunsoft. Do you know what Chunsoft is?
I know the name, yeah.
Fire Pro Wrestling?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was published by Enix. Directed by Koichi Nakamura, who also directed Portopia Serial Murders.
Oh, I'm playing that currently.
Yes. he also did the one
very slowly
Dragon Quest 1-4. He did Sheeran the Wanderer. Have you ever heard of that game?
No.
It's like a roguelite exploration art dungeon crawl game. Chocobo Dungeon, Pokemon Mystery Dungeon. He's been producer on that. Produced by this game, Dragon Warrior, was produced by Yokonobu Chida, the artist. Do you know who the artist is?
Didn't he do the Dragon Ball?
Didn't he do the Dragon Ball?
The Dragon Ball stuff.
He's the creator of Dragon Ball. His name is Akira Toriyama. He's the same.
Oh, I thought he was just the artist.
No, he's the creator of Dragon Ball. He did the art for Dragon Quest, and he also did the art for Chrono Trigger.
Oh.
So he's very done
prolific
some,
guy.
Done some stuff. The designer's name is Yuji Horii. He wrote the story for this. He wrote the story for Portopia Serial Murders. He wrote the story for every single Dragon Quest game.
Well,
from 1 through 11.
There's not exactly a ton of story here in the first game.
No, but he wrote the story for... Yuji Horii wrote the story for Chrono Trigger. He designed the game. I don't know if you know this game, Itadaki Street, which is Fortune Street here.
Oh, yeah, I don't know much about it, but I've heard of it.
Fucking love that game. It's like a Monopoly crossed with a stock market.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So you buy properties, but the properties can rise based upon if people land on it. So they rise in value, and then you can invest money into blocks of the street. So you're not just making money off of your properties, but you're making money off of people landing on other people's properties sometimes. It's a pretty cool game. It's very fun. It takes a long time to play it. But that game is prolific in Japan. It had one release here on the Wii. I have it. It's super fun. But that guy, Yuji Horii, designed that game. This is like a dream team of people, mm-hmm. essentially. This is their first release. This guy, Yuji Horii, won a contest by Enix to find a developer, and that's how they got him. He developed a game called Love Match Tennis, and he sent it to Enix, who were holding a 1 million yen contest to find developers, and it was won by Kazuo Morita, Koichi Nakamura, and Yuji Horii. Yuji Horii and Nakamura would go on to make Dragon Quest together. But supposedly, I guess, Portopia was very influenced by Wizardry's design, because Nakamura and Horii were big fans of Wizardry, because I guess that game was very big in Japan.
I mean, the way Portopia is, like, you essentially go to a scene, and then it's kind of like a point-and-click, like, right. Deja vu-style game. Is that how Wizardry is?
A little bit. I think it's more of like you go through a dungeon, you have the 3D outline of the dungeon, and you can do look, find,
I mean, that's basically what you do in Portopia, but...
Horii also mentioned that he was influenced by Ultima and its design. Ultima would be more of like the overworld of what Dragon Quest, Dragon Warrior was.
Hmm.
And they got Akira Toriyama, who at the time when this came out, Dragon Ball was just starting to take off in popularity. Mm-hmm. And they got Akira Toriyama to do the art for this, which is crazy. And it's also crazy to me that they got this like prolific artist to do all these designs for the artwork. Which is primarily done on the instruction manual and the box art. But when it came out in the US, they got different people to do the art design.
Yeah. Yes.
So they like criminally undersold what this game was in the US because it just had some random dragon on the cover.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they just figured that's what Americans would rather scoop up and buy.
Yeah, I mean, before Dragon Quest came out, too, the RPG genre was primarily known as a Western conceit, something that was developed by Western companies.
Was this before, like, the anime explosion in the 80s in America? Like
in the 80s in America?
Yeah.
I don't know.
When did Akira come out?
Oh, that didn't come out here until, like, 89, I think. Or
I feel like that's, like, what... I feel like that's, like, the time period where, like, anime, like, probably... actually got in the map here, right? I could be wrong in that, but...
You know, they had, like, Star Blazers.
Yeah.
Which came out here.
Okay.
So that put it on the map. And also, like, a lot of the G.I. Joe and, like, Transformers were very, like, anime-y.
Yeah.
Like, influenced by anime.
Yeah, all right. I got no fucking clue why they put that shitty artwork on it. Better than the Mega Man artwork, so...
Yeah, so, I mean, this game was, like, the flag... stamped into the ground that Japan makes RPGs. This game. This was like the first RPG. Like if you think about after this game, you got Final Fantasies, you got the Tales of series. You have all these series that came out because this one game in this series was popular in Japan.
It's a good one.
It is a good one.
It's a good one.
It's one of the first examples of open world design. You can go anywhere from the start.
You won't live too long.
No, you won't. There's clear gating that happens with the monsters.
Yeah.
The further you get away from the castle, the harder the monsters get. It had a clear, unique storyline, which if you say, I know you said the story is very basic, but for a game that was released in 1986, to have a story that tells you that there's a princess that you need to save, and then you save the princess, and
you don't even actually have to save.
Do you not have to save the princess?
You can actually skip saving the princess.
Oh, is this from speedruns? See this?
Well, no, I mean, I know people speedrun it, but there is a, like, it, just the way the game is set up, and I've never skipped saving the princess.
Yeah.
But I know, like, you can bypass saving the princess and still complete the game.
So you have to save the princess, and there's more story, so then you have to go kill the bad guy, who is the Dragon Lord.
Yeah, I mean, when I say it's light on story, I mean, you're not getting a lot of, like, twists and turns in the plot
as the game goes on,
but it does have a good, like, backstory that it has established.
If you think about, compare this game to a Super Mario Brothers or a Legend of Zelda, it communicates its story more clearly in the computer interface than it does in the other games, right? You know what I mean?
You get the Descendants, you're the descendant of Edric. You know, that whole, like, I do like in this game that when you go from town to town, there's always like a little narrative or something that's playing out in the different towns, like as you talk to people. And I do like, after you complete the game, like if you go back to those villages, the dialogue is updated with some of those characters that kind of like resolve like the little things they were talking about in those towns.
Right, like the person lost his wife or somebody.
Yeah, then it's like they find each other and stuff like that. So that was that's like little stuff that you know, does really kind of set it apart.
I mean, it is I will say it's a charming game. Yeah. And I'll say that the monster artwork is like ridiculously good for the time period.
Agreed.
It's so like the slimes and monsters. I'd say the only bad artwork is the dragons look terrible. Like the green dragons.
Really? I kind of like the green dragon.
I don't like him, but I think he looks cheap compared to the rest of the stuff. But the, so they did some cool things here where, I know we mentioned that if the further you go away from the castle, the harder the monsters get. But actually, the designer, Yuji Horii, he tried to incorporate bridges to signify leaps in difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
So as you cross a bridge, it's supposed to be that the monsters are more difficult. I will say that there is a shit ton of fucking grinding in this game.
I feel like not as bad as it would probably go on to be in the series. But
oh, really?
Yeah, I think, because I have actually played like little bits of like Dragon Warrior 2 and 3 and stuff like that. I don't own them, but I've played them, and it's like those are games, like I think it's especially Dragon Warrior 2 is notorious for how much grinding you have to do in the last chunk of the game.
Oh boy.
And I feel like there's a lot of there's a lot of grinding in this game, but I feel like you can still complete the game in like 9 hours, so I guess it doesn't feel that bad.
Dude, but I grinded on some sections for like an hour or two.
It's like, I think you want to, I can't even remember what the level is, you have to be at like to be able to beat the Dragon Lord, but you know, you can kind of get there, and then you know, it'll be a struggle,
right?
But I think you can get by like with not as much grinding as went on.
That's kind of like one of the innovations of this game, though. So the way they designed the game was they wanted to make it so that anybody could beat it, and how they did that was when you die, you don't lose any of your items, but you do lose gold,
mm-hmm.
so you can go out and just keep dying and refresh yourself, but you keep your levels. So you keep your experience, you keep your levels, and you can just keep grinding, and then you will eventually win, no matter how bad of a gamer you are.
Yeah,
and that's kind of one of the reasons why I got super popular in Japan, because there were people who were businessmen, salarymen, who were coming home late at night and playing this game and grinding at it. And then there were even, you know, their wives or women over there also doing the same thing. Didn't matter skill level. It was just mattered the amount of time you put into it, which was really the key differentiator compared to a game like Super Mario Brothers, which actually you had to be a little bit proficient in playing video games in order to beat that game.
Right.
Crazy for how much of a legacy it has. I would say that the I know we mentioned the storyline, you know, for the time period it was better than some of the other games, but they could have got creative in some areas, in particular the spells that you get.
So this,
so the spells, what are the spells that you get?
You get heal with, yes. Oh, I, because
the spell you get in it, is titled heal.
It's been a while since I played the Nintendo one, so I've played the Nintendo one, and I actually replayed it with the iOS port.
Yeah,
and they renamed some of the spells. But so yeah, isn't it, it's like fizz?
No, it's heal, hurt, hurt, heal more, hurt more, and stop spell.
Yeah, it's different in the they have like equally ridiculous names in the iOS port.
Yeah,
you keep going, I'll look it up.
So the one that you deal damage with obviously is the hurt, and then if you want to deal more damage, you do hurt more. And then if you want to stop the spell casting from the enemy, you just do stop spell. And those are the five spells you get. And I mean, they could have gotten a little bit more creative, but I guess they were just trying to tell you what the spells did without having an on-screen explanation of what they were.
Zoom takes you back to the castle.
Oh yeah. There was also, it's not Zoom, Return, I think is what it's called in the NES version. But yeah, and also in order to save, you had to go back to the main castle.
Oh, okay, so here are the battle spells in the updated port. Sizz, Fizzle, and Sizzle.
Which one heals you?
Well, that's just a heal. Heal, still heal. And then Snooze to sleep. Then you have mid-heal.
Oh, then, yeah, you have a sleep spell, too.
And then your attacks are Sizz, Fizzle, and Sizzle. There you go.
Sizz, Fizzle,
and Sizzle.
That's bad. That's a bad name.
Is it better than Hurtmore? I don't know.
No, it's not better than Hurtmore. It doesn't communicate anything. It should be like power or something. I don't know. I'm not creative. So the US version came out 3 years, we mentioned, after the Japanese version. Japanese version actually had a password system and didn't have a battery save because battery saves weren't a thing at the time it came out. Japanese release also had you choose from a menu which direction you wanted to go. So you couldn't, on the D-pad, say go up and go up. You said it had to go north, and then you'd move north. So it was even more convoluted.
Yes. Also had less sprites in the Famicom version, or less animations.
Oh, yes, it did. Oh, yeah, because your character in the NES version, when you go north, he shows your back. Because you're moving up the screen. Mm-hmm. In the Japanese version, it just shows the front and just moves you up.
Yeah, or I think it's all directions. Right. I don't even think there's like a sideways sprite.
So how long do you think it took you to beat this game?
I think I've beaten this game in probably, well, the iOS port I beat in under probably like 8-9 hours.
Yeah.
The NES one, I probably, probably like 10-11 hours.
Yeah. What's your favorite monster?
Well, I think I like the ghost armor. I mean, if we're talking about like from like just like artwork wise, those like kind of ghost knights, armor knight things. Oh, I like good. Those. Those are pretty cool. I think the dragon lord looks ridiculous. It looks like an eggplant. That I like the green dragon. I know you said you don't like the green dragon, but
I like the golem. Looks really good.
Oh yeah, yeah. Golem's hard.
Yeah,
that's like the first time that game really like slaps you in the mouth and goes, yeah, you gotta come back.
I just
come correct here.
I had to kill like a million of them because you have to get all the one of the things you have to do is not only grind levels, but you have to grind gold a lot of the time because you have to get the different armor sets. I think there's like four different armor sets in the game, maybe.
Yeah.
Something like that. But they all cost ridiculous amounts of money, so you have to grind for gold. And golems are like, give you 200 gold pieces every time you kill them.
Yep.
And they give you like zero experience. So... Thanks.
I will say, if you are, you know, I'm not advocating for people to play the iOS port over the NES port, but I will say two things that it does better is it has a quick save feature.
Yeah.
And it removes the ridiculous menu of I guess to put it in context, when you are playing Dragon Quest, you walk over a chest
and you have to click
and a menu comes up.
Yeah.
You can go search, and it goes, so-and-so searches all about the ground. He finds a chest. I was like, why can't it just open the chest? But no, there's a button for chest. You walk on stairs. You don't just go up or down the stairs.
You have to pick stairs.
So the iOS port, and I imagine wherever else has been ported to, like, fixes a lot of that to make it a little bit more like intuitive as to what you're probably used to with like any other RPG on the planet.
Right. I will say, so like the menu is contrived, and the going upstairs and going into the dungeons and doing stuff like that is pretty contrived, but the core gameplay, like the battle system, is still pretty good.
Yeah, the menu's just a minor annoyance.
Right.
That's all.
Yeah, and also even like the he put the castle where you save in the middle of the map. So if you want to go to any other portion of the map, it doesn't take you like an absurdly long amount of time to get anywhere from the save part.
Yeah, where it's not the biggest map in
right.
the world.
It's not big, and when you go there, you can use things like there's a potion you use, or I think it's a spell where you don't activate monsters as frequently.
Oh yeah.
I forget what that is. But yeah, so it's not that bad. And then you get to meet crazy creatures like the Wolf Lord. I like him too. He's cute. Cute design. Wolf Lord. Who else I like? The skeletons that you fight on the overworld.
Are oh yeah. Good. Those are
the little ghost dudes are pretty cool.
With like the little witch hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're pretty good.
Yeah. So, a lot of iconic designs here. Yeah.
I mean, they still like the slime is super iconic. It's still used today.
Oh yeah.
They just announced a, for the Switch, a slime controller.
Hasn't that like been like a tradition with Nintendo
for a
long time?
Yeah, they're making slime controllers. Yeah, they had a metal slime edition of a 2DS, I think, or a 3DS. So yeah, this game's designs has proliferated after this game.
One thing that I really liked about this game that you I think kind of started to touch on earlier is that it feels like a non-linear game almost in a way, even though like it really does kind of keep you to kind of a path of like the way certain areas get much more difficult, but like there's not a lot of guidance you get in this game, right? Like you leave the castle and then like you pretty much just know that at some point you have to save a princess and you have to gather
right.
like Edric's three his sword, the armor, and some of the other stuff, and it feels like you have like a lot of freedom, even
right.
though you really don't,
right.
but like you have a perceived freedom to kind of just wander about the world and find the stuff.
Well, still, open world games today are they guide you in a way. Like they're more open, but they're still giving you handholds to go a certain direction.
Yeah.
Like Breath of the Wild was one of the most open games I think I've ever played, and they still have like signposts for you to go to certain directions.
Mm.
And it feels similar to a Dragon Warrior, Dragon Quest in that regard. But I mean, there's clear gating, and that's when you meet certain monsters, especially at the outset. You have like 10 health when you first start that game.
Right.
So you're going to die. If you kill the first guy, you're like lucky. Then you level, and then it gets a little bit easier every time you fight. But there's sometimes when you're just grinding and grinding for gold and experience and gold and experience.
I think a lot of your initial stats, I saw this from watching Arcus the speedrunner on Twitch.
Yeah.
Like, because he grinds a lot like the Dragon Warrior games. And he mentioned that there was something about, like, depending on what sort of name you enter, what sort of characters you use in the name, it actually impacts like the RNG of your starting stats.
Wow, that's crazy.
So it's
I can
like,
see it though.
I don't know if that was like an intentional feature or just like
yeah, that was like
perhaps a little like oversight or something, but
an error in the coding maybe.
Yeah, but yeah, there's something like you can do with like your name that like will give you like a little tiny boost of stats at the beginning.
That sounds like a scripting error. Like something that's a problem with the coding, like that overwrote something when you put in certain characters.
Yeah, I don't fucking know.
That's interesting. So beyond that, so do you know that there's a Dragon Quest randomizer?
Yes.
Which randomizes not only locations, but also tiles on the world map. So it could be you could have swamps that damage you right at the outset when you leave the castle if it really screwed you. Locations of enemies and HP and MP of enemies are also randomized. So it's like complete shuffle.
Randomizers are all the rage these days.
These are like all over the place.
All the rage.
I saw, so this week, the week we're recording, they had SDGQ, SGDQ, sorry, Summer Games Done Quick, the charity thing where they have speedruns all week on Twitch. and they raised $3 million, which was really cool. They ended today. We're recording on a Sunday. And they had a randomizer that was a relay race, but it was a randomizer of Super Metroid and Link to the Past together as a game. And some of the they had teleporters in Super Metroid that would take you to Link to the Past.
Interesting.
And they did a race. They had to get all the items and all of the crystals. Gotcha. And all of the different things.
There's I want to play one of the Final Fantasy IV randomizers.
That'd be fun.
There's I think it's basically like you have to collect like, I forget what it is. Like it's like 8 or 9 items that are from Final Fantasy.
If you're like really into a game, a randomizer would probably be pretty cool. I think Link to the Past randomizer would be cool for me because I love that game. So. Yeah, Dragon Quest, one of the first JRPGs. It's not the first Japanese RPG. There's a game called Black Onyx, which is a Japanese RPG that came out before this, and also influenced this game because they played that game. But I don't think it's very well known outside of Japan. But this is like one of the first RPGs that was made in Japan, one of the first that does the whole progression, one of the first that where you keep your XP. One of the first where you are a sprite on a tile going over a world map and then going into dungeons. It's very, very influential on game design in terms of how the battles take place and the turn-based battle system. It's very influential in the spells that you get as you progress and level up and keeping your XP. So it has a tremendous legacy that would be co-opted by a number of different games, and there'd be a million of JRPGs that come out of this game and the popularity of this game. So the legacy of this game is crazy. So we should talk about where this is in our ranking on this list.
I'm trying to think, there's not many, I don't think, but this is probably the best JRPG that's on the NES. Way better than Final Fantasy.
Do you like it better than Final Fantasy?
Oh, yeah. I hate the first Final Fantasy.
I mean, there are a lot of JRPGs on the Famicom.
There's
not a lot on the NES. So
I can't really compare it to a lot of the Famicom ones, but
I also think that I've heard, I have not played them. I will play them because I did enjoy actually playing this game. But I have heard that 2 through 4 Dragon Warriors are better games than Dragon Warrior 1.
I don't know. I like with the other ones, like you have like a party.
I guess 3 is actually I've heard
like 3 is like the best one that people like a lot. I like this one, like that it's like it's so simple in the sense that like you're a solo character on your own.
Yeah.
You know, normally I don't like that in JRPGs, but for whatever reason I like it in this one.
Right.
And but I have heard that like 2, 3, and 4 are just super, super grindy, more so than this game.
Yeah. I've heard that the story in 3 is better. And I don't know what that means for an NES game, but it'll be curious to go to that game eventually. I also want to, this game, I say it has a lot of grind, but sometimes I just want to sit down and just go mentally vacant.
Yeah.
And that's not for everybody, but I just like to grind sometimes. But this game would be a good introduction, I would say, to JRPGs for people. Maybe. I don't even know if it would be a good introduction.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think it would
maybe like a Final Fantasy IV would be a good
introduction. Yeah, I was going to say, like a Final Fantasy IV is a good place to start, or you can even do like Final Fantasy VII.
Right.
But hey, that's a
I don't like Final Fantasy VII.
That's a conversation for another time.
Yeah, let's not talk about that one. But in our terms of our ranking, this is our 10th NES game, our 13th game released in the 1980s, and our 3rd RPG that is on our list. So, where does it go? In any case, no matter what, I don't think this is a better game. Well, and I don't even, it definitely has a bigger legacy than the game that I'm about to talk about, but it is, the game that I'm talking about, Final Fantasy VI, is a better game. It's an RPG. I think it goes below Final Fantasy VI somewhere.
I was actually going to just say right above Final Fantasy VI.
Get out of here. No effing way is this game going above Final Fantasy VI. No.
But neither one of us liked Final Fantasy VI.
I don't mind Final Fantasy VI.
I think you need to go back and listen to your own episode.
I think it's a better game than Dragon. It's definitely a better game than Dragon Quest, the first one. It's definitely not more influential, but it is tremendously influential. It's Final Fantasy VI.
Final Fantasy VI wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for Dragon Quest.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So.
100%. But I don't think it's a better game than Final Fantasy VI.
The unfortunate thing is that I can see the argument for Final Fantasy VI being above it, so I guess I would have to agree with you.
Like, so for me, I think that eventually, as we play more games in the Dragon Quest series, I think there will be higher Dragon Quests than this game. I don't know where they will be on our list, but I think they will be higher.
I'll tell you what it won't be. It won't be Dragon Quest XI. I'll tell you that.
I want to play that game. I still want to play that game. I know you didn't like it.
Ugh. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm good with this going right below Final Fantasy VI.
I am not. I mean,
it being 13 and Final Fantasy VI being 12, remaining at 12, I mean.
Like, so I'm looking at this list, right? And I look at the other NES games on this list. DuckTales, River City Ransom, Ninja Gaiden, all games that hold up way better than this game.
Think so?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Those three games do not have as big of a legacy.
I think
as Dragon Warrior.
I think, however, I think outside of DuckTales, if someone had never played a Nintendo game before and like you gave them those games to play, like Dragon Quest is going to feel familiar with modern JRPGs.
Yeah, but think about the menu system, the stairs.
Yeah, that's a pain. But then people are going to play Ninja Gaiden, where it's like, you know, a character can like kind of wander off the screen, back on the screen.
Oh, I think Ninja Gaiden.
Jumps.
The one game on there of those three that I think people would have trouble with would be River City Ransom.
Well, yeah, I was going to say that too. I think that would be that's another odd game for like someone to just pick up and play if they'd ever played like old Nintendo games before.
I think Ninja Gaiden is pretty straightforward. I think that also DuckTales.
Yeah, but Ninja Gaiden is hard as shit.
It is hard as shit. Yes, but I mean that's the thing these days is that people love playing those hard as shit games.
Yeah, it's like hard for like the wrong reasons though. A lot of the times,
I would say that game. I thought that game going into that game was hard as shit. And then I played it for a little while, and I got to the last level and the last screen of the last level, and there's a part that just is like, you are so shitty developers for doing this that I could just quit the game because I couldn't get through that part. But yeah, that was the one part of Ninja Gaiden where I was like, this is bad, but the rest of it was good. I liked it a lot. I could see Dragon Quest, Dragon Warrior going somewhere around the 20s to late teens.
Yeah, I'm looking at the list now. I mean, I think No Mercy's better. I think Arkham Asylum is better. Mortal Kombat I could kind of take or leave. Cuphead. you know, I never played Mark of the Wolves, so I can't comment on that. DuckTales is good. I don't know. I guess I would put like around DuckTales.
Okay, around DuckTales. We're now down to around DuckTales. Okay. Yeah.
God of War, it's a button masher.
I don't want to put it above God of War. So we can make it. Do you want to make it the new number? Let's see here. Put it. Want to put it at 17?
Yeah.
We can make it our new 17, push Cuphead down one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would that be a good compromise?
It would be.
Okay.
It would be a good compromise.
All right. We'll make Dragon Warrior / Dragon Quest what I'm going to add it to the list as. As our new number 17 game on our list. I think we had a nice spirited ranking.
Yeah, that was good.
Okay.
That's good.
Okay. It has such a big legacy just for the first game. I'm curious to play the second one and the third one and the fourth one, which I will eventually do. I also kind of want to play the...
Expensive, those games.
Yeah, well, the second one's not that bad.
The fourth one is, I think...
Super expensive.
Yeah.
Second one's only like... I saw it at a store for like $30, I think.
Oh, it's not bad.
Yeah. But yeah, I do want to play those games. I want to play the Game Boy Color versions. It's Game Boy Color had a 1 and 2 in one cart.
I wonder if those are similar to the iOS port.
Probably more similar than the NES version.
Yeah.
The sprites are updated.
Yeah. I mean, the iOS one plays very similar to the Nintendo one, other than like those like little refinements that I mentioned earlier.
Right. Right. It'll be interesting. I know they also made them. Didn't they redo them for the DS? A couple of them. That's like 3 and 4.
Probably.
Yeah. So those will be interesting. We'll eventually get there as we add everything to our endless list. But we have a new number 17 game, which we have Dragon Warrior/Dragon Quest for the NES. And thank you, Chris, for joining us on this episode.
Hey, pal. Anytime.
And thank you to your client, Dos Chiquini Jr., for the music. And make sure you follow us on the iTunes, the Google Play, the Spotify, and at It's So Bad Pod on Twitter. itssobadpod@gmail.com for any of your email comments or concerns. And this has been another episode. We now have 39 games on our list. Our 40th game will be added next week.
Oof, what's it going to be?
Castlevania.
Spoilers.